It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better, You Bet, presented by BetMGM right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Ebebefe, hanging out with you guys over the next 4 hours, where you can find us across a multitude of platforms. Make sure to watch us live 24/7 on the free Odyssey app. You can also check us out on Twitch at BetMGM Network and on YouTube at the BetMGM Network. Also, if you want to watch us, you can watch us at YouTube TV, Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus, and more. And if you'd like to listen to us, you can go ahead and do so at Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. And throughout these 4 hours, make sure you hit us up on social media. You can find me on Twitter, at Femi Ebebefe. The Twitter was active last night. We were live tweeting Cowboys Eagles. It was definitely active. You can find me on Instagram, Femi _ Ebebefe. Check out the show on Twitter, at You Better You Bet, and the entire network at BetMGM Network over on Twitter. If you like our show, Bet Sweats, BetMGM Tonight, Daily Tip, all the shows that we have across the weekends and weekdays, make sure you check them out at BetMGM Network over on Twitter. We got the crew hanging with us, though, on this Friday. We have Tyler Morales, Kenny Henderson filling in for Jake Hassan, Bill Zimmerman, Max Sheedy in for Mike Brown, Sean Haw, Addie Bates, Nick Costos. He joins us at the top of the hour with his thoughts on last night's Cowboys-Eagles games that had all sorts of real-life drama and betting drama attached to it as well. But if you miss anything across these 4 hours, because boy, it is the first Football Friday that we have of the season, and we will have a ton for you guys. If you miss anything, any of the bets for NFL, college football, any of the bets for Major League Baseball, make sure you check us out in podcast form. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts. And because we're being so kind and putting the content on there on demand for everyone to consume, the least you guys can do is subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. We have one guest who will be joining us to start the third hour of the show, starting at 5 o'clock Eastern. It's college football betting analyst for the Action Network, Colin Wilson, who will check in with us. Colin, of course, does a great job on the Big Bets on Campus podcast, and he will give us his best bets for week 2 in college football. Now, I know some of you out there, you might be saying to yourself, well, how do we top what happened in week 1? Like, week 1 was a banger, all those top 10 matchups, and you look at the week 2 slate, at least on paper, and, you know, leaves a little to be desired. But that doesn't mean we can't make money, and we will try to make money with our buddy Colin Wilson at 5 o'clock Eastern time. And also, we want to hear from the real ones, all of you out there watching, listening. We need you guys to participate. Let us know, what is your favorite bet for Friday night football between the Chiefs and the Chargers in Brazil? Let us know your favorite bet, side, total, prop, and why for tonight's AFC West clash. Once again, like I said yesterday, like, I know we haven't done this for a while. We haven't been doing our social question, but the real ones always bring it. But we will not give you a shout out if you do not include the rationale. Please let us know why you like the bet. Just don't tell me Keenan Allen over receptions. Tell me why you like Keenan Allen over receptions, all right? So we want the bet, side, total, prop, and why. Tweet us at You Better You Bet on Twitter, and we'll give you a shout out later on during the program. But let's get into last night's betting recap real quickly before we really dive deep into Cowboys-Eagles. The over, we'll talk about that really quickly here. Cowboys-Eagles over 48 did not win. I also bet the Eagles live when they went down 17-14, laid 4.5. In the interest of transparency, we will also grade that as a loser. Eagles only winning the game by 4. Femi's Island, it was not as cozy. Kevontae Turpin did not score the first TD. Neither did Devontae Smith. The other sports, though, treated us pretty well. Major League Baseball, 1-1. Dodgers-Pirates, first five goes over. The Guardians did not win in the first five against Tampa. But then shout out to the Las Vegas Aces on the money line last night. They beat the Minnesota Lynx at +120. And we'll talk a little bit about the WNBA MVP market coming up in the next segment. But we must spend the rest of this time talking about what we saw last night. Thursday Night Football, week 1 opener for the NFL regular season. Eagles beat the Cowboys 24-20. And watching the game last night, it just felt like you were watching a classic week 1 game. Like, it felt like it was classic week 1. And what I mean by that is that just insanity all over the place. Like, you always go into a season, it's like, okay, how do the two teams fit together? What should we expect to see? What are the questions that we have that might be answered over the next 60 minutes? All of these things that you're thinking about prior to kickoff, and we'll really be thinking about that tonight and on Sunday. But last night, going in, all right, let's settle in. Let's see what happens. Boom. Immediately, 4 seconds into the game, Jalen Carter decides to, I guess, transfer his saliva over to Dak Prescott. Like, this man spit on Dak Prescott 4 seconds into the game before we even had an actual play from scrimmage. I couldn't believe it. I was just flabbergasted because, like, we're looking at the linebacker dude that tore his ACL. Sorry, I don't know his name. Hope he gets better, speedy recovery to him. Like, he's getting carted off the field, and that's why there's the delay to start the thing. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, there's a penalty flag. I'm like, what could have possibly happened on this kickoff? Maybe is it holding? Is it something? No, it's actually Jalen Carter ejected. I'm texting in our group chat. What could he have possibly done to get ejected? I'm like, did he call out the referee's mother by her name? Like, what happened? And then, of course, we see in 4K from all the millions of cameras that are in the stadium that Jalen Carter spit on Dak Prescott. Like, honestly, I'm not going to spend too much time on it. Obviously, it's like the big thing coming out of the game that everyone's been talking about. So I did want to mention it. But, like, it's just absolutely low. Like, how do you do that? And there's like other words that I would use right now, but they wouldn't clear FCC airwaves, so I'm not going to use them because I like my job and I'd love to keep it. But like that's just absolutely low that Jalen Carter did that. And like, think about his teammates. Bro, you're the best defensive player on the team. Let's get going for this season. Oh, you know, I'm just going to be a selfish bleep hole and just spit on Dak Prescott. Like, come on, dude. Like, that's just absolutely ridiculous that he did that. And he could have cost his team the game. Because his absence, like, had we known that going into the game, that point spread is not closing at 8 if Jalen Carter is not going to play. Like, his absence matters. He's that good of a defensive tackle. And for him to do that was completely, completely selfish. And that was just one of the wacky things that we saw last night. From a play standpoint, it honestly felt like we were watching starters play in a preseason game. Like, it did. And I was thinking about that a lot last night when our conversation with Brian Baldinger, our Odyssey NFL insider that we had on Wednesday, and Baldy was talking about, hey, like, you know, one of the reasons why I'd be a little bit careful with the over and all that stuff is that, you know, September is the new August. These guys don't play in the preseason. And a lot of the first few weeks of the season is kind of getting your bearings, getting your legs underneath you, just kind of building up that callus that you need to go out there and play regular season football. And there was sloppy stuff all over the place. Eagles with a bunch of penalties, Cowboys with a bunch of drops, which we'll detail here shortly. But there was a lot that was going on that did not look like crisp, big time football. And then on top of all of that, of course, because it's early September in the Northeast, we get A lightning delay. Like, it's just like everything felt strange and wacky as the lightning delay suspended the game at the 4:44 mark of the third quarter. Prior to that, you see Miles Sanders with this long run. And Miles Sanders has this long run to set up the Dallas Cowboys deep in the red zone. A couple plays later, fumbles the football to give the ball back to Philadelphia. Then boom, lightning delay. We're going to suspend the game for an hour. Hour and 4 minutes until we resumed play, but the whole thing just felt out of whack. And why it felt out of whack was because you had stoppages, you had miscues, you had just tomfoolery from Jalen Carter, just a lot of nonsense happening. And in the midst of all of it, somehow, some way, the game goes under the total. Like, how? How did that game go under the total? We talked about this all summer long. Hey, you know what? If the Dallas Cowboys are competitive, it has to go over. I said it yesterday. If the Dallas Cowboys offensive line can't protect, and they did last night thanks to Jalen Carter being in the locker room after 4 seconds, like, if the Cowboys O-line can protect, this game's going over because these two teams are good offensively. And these defenses, especially Philly's secondary and Dallas's defense as a whole, they're going to be in a little bit of trouble trying to defend all of these skill guys and defend these quarterbacks. Like, literally, 41 combined points at halftime. Scores on not 5, not 6, not 7. The first 8 possessions. We had scores on the first 8 possessions. And then somehow, after the lightning delay, 0 points. Like, no points whatsoever after the lightning delay. Like, this is, I could not believe it. We're texting in the group chat, and Nick had kind of texted it early, like, oh, I can't wait to see how this goes under. And I'm like, oh, no, I think we're pretty good. We're pretty solid. But the minute we got to the lightning delay, I was like, oh, dear God. Like, this is how this kind of gets off track. And that's what happened. Both teams kind of came out sluggish. I'm thinking to myself after the game saying, what's worse, honestly? Like, what's worse? Was it the Titans plus four last year in week one? We all know about that Levis disaster class against the Chicago Bears. Or was it last night in the over and that not going over the total? Like, honestly, I don't know what's worse. I go back and forth as I've been, like, all throughout today thinking about it. But, like, man, Titans plus four was terrible last year. But last night, I mean, that game, 99.999% of the time goes over all the numbers, whether it was 47, 47 and a half, 48, 48 and a half, like 99.999% of the time that goes over the total. But it wasn't just the lightning delay. It wasn't just the wackiness of week one. I mean, it's also Cowboys wide receiver CeeDee Lamb, who engineered one of the worst seven catch, 110 yard games you will ever see. And I think if that is, it's justified to frame it that way because CeeDee Lamb is an all-pro. CeeDee Lamb is one of the elite receivers in the National Football League. And last night, CeeDee Lamb let his team down. Four drop passes, two of which were absolute gimmies. One on a third down, another, a beautiful deep ball from Dak Prescott, where if CeeDee Lamb catches that pass, the Cowboys are definitely scoring on that drive. And then, of course, final play for the Cowboys on offense, fourth and three. Dak says, CeeDee, I'm coming right back to you. You're 88. You're carrying on the legacy of Drew Pearson, of Michael Irvin, of Dez Bryant. You're carrying on that 88 legacy. Drops the pass. Now, was it a difficult catch? Hell yeah, it was difficult. But CeeDee Lamb's also making like $35 million a year. Buddy, you're paid to make that catch. You're not on a rookie contract anymore. You are getting paid big time money to make a big time play in a game where the Dallas Cowboys had prime opportunity to steal it. Like, Dallas could have won that game very, very easily. But unfortunately, CeeDee Lamb decided, you know what? I didn't need to practice or play in the preseason. I'm all good. We're ready to go. Didn't look like it last night. After the game, CeeDee Lamb told the media, quote, that's terrible. I can't point the finger at anybody else. I take full accountability and everything else that comes with it. As a player, I train for moments like that and the ball to come my way. I need to catch the damn ball. I get it. Like, he's doing the tap the chest. And we always joke about tap the chest, you know, on You Better, You Bet, about how, like, that's what you do when, like, everybody clearly knows you're the one that made the mistake. Bro, I don't need to hear it. Like, I really don't. Like, there was, like, you can say that stuff. And I know some people are giving him kudos for, like, oh, CeeDee's taking accountability. Who the hell else was going to take blame for that? Like, we all watched the game last night. I'm sure there was, like, 30 million people watching. Who else was at fault? So, like, just because you say that the sky is blue and now I need to give you credit? Get out of here with that nonsense. Like, clearly, this was just absolutely a horrendous performance from CeeDee Lamb. And it's truly, truly tragic because despite what the box score says, I thought that was Dak Prescott, one of his better games of his career. I thought Dak Prescott, for having missed nine games last season, Dak didn't even play in the preseason either, but after having missed nine games to the hamstring injury, I thought Dak was really, really sharp. He seems to be comfortable in this Brian Schottenheimer offense. Cowboys using a bunch of motion, Kevontae Turpin in motion, Jalen Tolbert in motion. Like, it looked a little bit creative from the Dallas Cowboys. But, like, it was all for naught because CeeDee Lamb could not catch the football. And you might think to yourself, damn, Femi, you're putting this whole loss all on one guy. Yeah, man, I am. I'm not going to blame the defense, even though the defense still shows signs of concerns for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, the next time the Cowboys decide to rush Jalen Hurts with a contain will be the first time. But, like, we all know the defense going in was terrible. The defense was shorthanded due to them trading Micah Parsons. Like, this defense was not high expectations. In fact, last night, especially in the second half, I would say full marks to the defense, the fact that they were able to keep the Eagles out of the end zone. But Dak Prescott put together a great game, and his number one wide receiver did not match it. And that is a very, very unfortunate situation because we should be today talking about the 1-0 Dallas Cowboys as opposed to the 0-1 Dallas Cowboys. Now, all throughout the rest of the show, we will discuss the Philadelphia Eagles and what we saw from them last night. They once again find a way to win. Have to credit Jalen Hurts for his back-breaking scrambles and what he was able to do to keep drives alive. But I came away rather unimpressed by the defending Super Bowl champions. It's just week one. I'm not going to overreact. But if they keep doing stuff like what they were doing last night, offense not that creative, one target for A.J. Brown, I think the defending champs might be in a world of hurt and maybe loosen their grip on the NFC East in 2025. We'll have our headlines on the other side. It's You Better You Bet on a Friday.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.